podcast is brought to you by
Head on down to your local Jackrabbit Slims for a rocking good time, because at Jackrabbit Slims, every night is a blast from the past. Catch a show performed by one of our toe tapping singing servers, then twist the night away on our retro 50s style dance floor. Enjoy an old-fashioned $5 shake while you relax in one of our classic American-made automobile booths, and let Jackrabbit Slims take you back to the good old days. The movie stars are out tonight, folks, so head on down to Jackrabbit Slims off Route 66 for great food, killer tunes, and magical memories. Don't be a square, daddy-o. Come get your share of the fun at Jackrabbit Slims, the hippest joint in town.
I have written a TV show. I've written 8 episodes, all right, of a limited series. I've written all 8 episodes. I direct all 8 episodes. But, you know, that might be what I, like, start setting up next year.
I hope to do 2 more books. I plan on doing first play that I've just wrote. But I want to do A Hateful Eight later on stage. But I could very well write a stage version of Reservoir Dogs when I'm doing theater. The only one I can imagine where it would be another epic, where I need to outdo everything, is if I did a Kill Bill 3. And then I wrote 5 episodes of Bounty. But I could see myself writing a novelization for Reservoir Dogs. That would be cool.
Welcome all you Inglourious Bastards to another episode of Inglourious Blue Balls, a bastard's work left undone, where each month over the next 3 years, we'll be taking a look at one of the many projects Quentin Tarantino has announced over his illustrious 30-plus year career that have never come to pass. I'm your host, the Reverend Scott K, and joining me on this daunting quest into the psyche of our hyperactive, motor-mouthed, hip-firing Lord and Savior's laissez-faire approach to announcing projects is the ordained officer of the church, Friar Wheeler. Over the course of this journey, we will be delving into the backgrounds of these announced projects, speculating on why they never came to be, hypothesizing on what they could have been, and giving you our level of blue balls that these unrealized films have left us with. Next up on the docket is one of his announcements from 2010, an untitled medieval movie that was rumored to have starred Helen Mirren. But before we storm the castle and remove some fucking heads, it's my pleasure to welcome back Mr. Friar Wheeler. Welcome back, Friar Wheeler, and may Tarantino be with you always.
Cheers, motherfucker.
Yes, we have decided to sidestep Monsignor, and we should have always known it was Friar. You look like a Friar Tuck. So we got Friar Wheeler, now a part of the church. And yeah, this year was our second one. We're on a roll now. Yeah. Here we go, number 2. The deuce. Yep. We're dropping our deuce.
Yeah, I'm doing way more research than I need to be doing, I think, but...
It's a funny thing, right? Like, if my teachers, now that I'm a teacher, I do understand the pain students go through, but I'm sure my teachers would be, like, flabbergasted at the amount of time I have spent cultivating and studying stuff like this, and wouldn't even put in the fucking effort for some of the other shit that I was supposed to in school. So, yep. It's, you know, when you find a passion, you get into it. So, I mean, if there was a class in Tarantino, maybe I'll create a class. I mean, they've got a class where somewhere about Taylor Swift now. I don't know why I can't get an adjunct professorship and just talk Tarantino.
I'm waiting for a Tarantino Jeopardy, and then you and I are going to go on there.
Fucking
and
we'll slay.
Probably Pat or, yeah.
Slay at it. So, now listen, you do have other things. You know, I mean, you'll be on this season of the church's other series, I think once or twice total. Because you're really pretty much now doing full-time duty once a month here as a friar at the Church of Tarantino. I gotta get you a shirt made.
Nobody wants to hear me more than that anyway.
It's true.
Think I'm your lowest rated podcast when I'm on. So.
No, not at all. You'd be surprised. Actually, I've seen the numbers for last year, the numbers for The Hateful Eight actually jumped up quite significantly. And so I think it's the 4th highest downloaded podcast I have.
Behind all those Bruce Willis ones or what?
Bruce Willis is a different monster, and don't you hate on him. How dare you make fun of a man who's got aphasia. Now, speaking of aphasia, your podcast, I believe that you have some rumblings. Do you want to tell the audience about your main podcast that you were doing, and also what's going on with your record label there at Scareflare?
So nothing's going on at the record label at all. Just kind of sitting around waiting for some stuff. And Ryan and I, who... people may know Ryan, he was on your Death Proof episode.
Under the Influence, yes,
about
he was.
Bird with the Crystal Plumage last season. Him and I do a podcast that was called the Splatterhouse Podcast, but we're going to kind of revamp it to grow it, I guess, is, you know, what we're talking about doing with it. And he got married, and I think he works at Napa or some shit, and he became a manager. So he's been traveling for like a few months, and just we haven't had a chance to really do it. And we were starting to talk about gearing up and doing it again here soon. The guy that did the Chainsaw Massacre, the Shocking Truth score, is doing a theme song for us even.
Oh, so, very nice.
Yeah, like I know celebrities who know people. So, and I'm doing conventions, so I will be in Atlanta, Georgia this next weekend, which we're recording on the 21st. I'll be there for Days of the Dead, and then I'll be in Charlotte, North Carolina the second week of February for Mad Monster Party with Kiefer Sutherland and Lou Diamond Phillips and a bunch of the Smallville cast, and I don't remember who else is all on it. Oh, the Dukes of Hazzard guys. I'm gonna try to get you the fucking sheriff to come on here and you can interview him about
he's still alive. Yeah, Roscoe Pico train is still alive?
No, it's the Duke boys. So the one was the you're cop talking about Django. The Duke.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. Okay, gotcha. I'm sorry.
Tom Wolpat?
So, yes, you said the Duke's a hazard, and you said the sheriff, and I thought you meant Roscoe Pico train. I said, no fucking way Roscoe Pico train is still alive. Greatest name in television, bar none.
And he is amazing in fucking Rolling Thunder.
Now, did you want to tell the audience that you changed the name to the Pop Shot? Spectacular?
No.
Or no? Okay.
No, because I had to like actually.
First one's going to be Thriller? You're going
to
do
I was like, Scott, I need a name. And it has to, A, it can't have anything to do with Willem Dafoe's dick.
That's
which
disappointing.
You have an obsession with, which you haven't mentioned it yet. So I just did
it. Well, you just did. So see, look, see. You want to make fun, but somehow it's found its way. As Petro said on my first episode of Character Study, somehow talking about Dafoe's dong has become the Nick Fury of podcasting between me and my friends. it's our own podcast universe that somehow it has joined a bunch of them.
After all the credits, you have to come on and go, Willem Dafoe's cock.
Exactly. You do.
People waiting for that shit after the credits now. He didn't say it.
So now that you're an official member of the church, are there any new opportunities or free stuff that you have gotten for riding my coattails?
No, I haven't been out. I haven't been out. Like, it's 0 degrees here in Missouri. I'm freezing to death all the time. I haven't been out. I was in Alabama like 3 weeks ago. And yeah, no, nobody came up to me at that con for it. So,
well, have you got that box set?
No, I'm still talking with the guy about it.
All right. Well,
he's not sure if he wants to let it go now for.
Yeah, he probably heard doesn't want to donate to the church. Does he know you're an official of the church and he can get a tax write-off or something like that?
I don't, well, better to give than receive, motherfucker.
Yeah, well, yes. If you're the giver.
I'm going to pass the plate or see if he puts it in there.
I'm going to sidestep the rest of what I was going to say because I'm going to offend some people. So we're going to move on to what we're here to talk about. All right, my friends, it is time for you to pour yourself a cognac. Open a box of Havanas and strap yourself in as we embark on our journey through the gargantuan accumulation of blue ball-inducing project announcements spewed from the mouth of our Lord and Savior, Mr. Quentin Tarantino. Our next step on this arduous expedition is one of his declarations from 2010, an untitled medieval movie. Now, in January of 2010, apparently, it is rumored that Tarantino announced that his next film, after at the time his recently released Inglourious Basterds, would be a medieval film. Apparently, he had offered the lead role in the film, a foul-mouthed monarch, to Dame Helen Mirren. Mirren had previously played a queen in 2006, The Queen, as Queen Elizabeth II, and according to sources, she was willing to play a monarch once more. Now, this film would retain the usual QT trademarks, bloody violence, and foul language, and was to be set in England's Middle Ages. There was an article in Digital Spy published on January 23rd of 2010 that claimed Dame Helen Mirren had reportedly been approached by Tarantino to appear in his next project. The article claims that she had been asked to play a foul-mouthed monarch in his upcoming medieval movie. The article went on to say that Helen had never worked with Tarantino before and was interested in the role. However, 4 days later, on January 27th, MTV back when they did music and talked about movies and even had a news section, back when MTV was more than just whatever bullshit it is today, they asked Dame Helen Mirren if the rumors were true, to which she said, "I wish. I should be so lucky." After that, the rumors of this project seemed to die overnight. Now, I have scoured the internet and could not find anything that confirmed or denied that Tarantino had announced his project as his follow-up to Bastards in 2010. And as you know, his follow-up would end up being Django Unchained in 2012. Now, myself and Friar Wheeler will now discuss why we think this announcement has made numerous websites Tarantino wish list of films that never were. As we were kind of talking prior to recording, this rumor, this announcement, we don't know if it was an announcement, if someone was just brilliantly setting something up. There is no real, there's really nothing out there to confirm or deny what the fuck happened. All we know is in the third week of January, around the same time we are talking right now that we're recording, although you'll hear this a month later, someone somewhere decided to say that they heard that Tarantino was making a middle of a movie and wanted to have Helen Mirren star in it. 4 days later, that thing was shut down and we never hear another thing about it, but it had such juiciness. Here we are talking about it 13, 14 years later. What do we think? What is this? Did this happen? Did it not happen? Did someone, like you said in our first episode, fart and someone wrote it down?
He was out drinking in the UK and he got just plastered on Guinness, on the black stuff. And he was had his hand on the wall at the urinal and he said, "I'm going to get medieval on your ass." And somebody said, "He's making a medieval film." And then they reported it in the UK's The Sun newspaper, which has been sued over and over and over again, from what I understand, putting fake shit in their newspaper. As Steve Smith would call it, it's a rag, baby. So that's what I think happened, is I just think he said something like, "I would love to do, you know, something." And then all of a sudden, and he probably said Helen Mirren was really hot at one time. And
wow. You know, I'm sorry, Miss Mirren. I'm sorry. I mean, for her age, she is kind of smoking. I mean,
yeah, she is.
Obviously she's much older now, but she was pretty smoking and red. And I've watched a couple of things with her recently. Oh, I mean, she's getting older, but
that 1923 though, like Harrison Ford was just killing it. How hot he looked in that show. Yeah. So
how hot he or she,
which she was amazing in that. So like, I thought he was going to be the lead and she ends up being the lead of that show. So it was kind of cute.
Well, I mean, he's always trying to crash a plane somewhere. So, you know, he's always trying to kill himself somehow.
Get out of the next Indiana Jones before they rape him again.
Well,
I take that back. The last one wasn't that bad. So
we're not here to talk about Indiana Jones, you sidetracking son of a bitch. Yeah. It's what is surprising to me is how much a fucking small little thing like this has resonated and lasted. Like, if you search this on the internet, you're going to find a couple of places like Screen Rant, other places which will put this in one of its, you know, 10 announced movies that they wish he did. And all it seems to be is, like you said, maybe someone made something up from The Sun, that Limey magazine drunk that you so pontifically stated that prior, that, you know, it caught fire, and it does give a little credence to the fact that whenever he says something, as you mentioned in our very first episode, it gets legs and it crawls. And even if we don't know that he said it, or if it was like said in passing, or like you said, someone heard him just say medieval as he was walking by and like, boom, you know what I mean? Or maybe he was even talking about, it could even be like he was talking about her being in that movie and how good she would be as a foul mouth something in a medieval film. And they're like, that must be, that's what he's going to do next. I mean, it could have just been a simple conversation.
And in his normal way, he still has never said shit about this. No one's ever asked him about it.
I was just going to ask you that. Why? Yeah. Why do you think that is? Do you think he just likes the, as people who hate him, like I said, the love and hate of Tarantino is, if you're a fan, like what this podcast is based on right now, this series is us discussing things that would never were, because it's something that we enjoy, even though it gives us blue balls and can piss us off at times and frustrate us.
Well, he gets easily distracted.
He gets distracted with stuff.
He'll just have like an idea and that's, you know, like he gets distracted. It's like a dog with a, you know, playing ball and then a squirrel runs by. It's just like, oh shit, well, there goes Django. I need to go do that. And then everything else he's talked about gets, you know, which I have no problem with that because all of his films have been good.
Yeah.
But when he makes a bad movie, I'm like, why didn't you do that medieval movie? God damn it. That would have been better than this shit. Better than The Film Critic or whatever the fuck it's called.
It's The Movie Critic. Like, hey, you know what? We're recording late January. You're hearing this late February. So maybe some things have been announced. But there's a good chance that doesn't come to fruition. There's a good chance that too much time has passed between when he wanted to film it and did. And it could be the TV show again now, or it could be, who knows? All right, so we'll kind of discuss why this thing that may never have been said didn't come to fruition. Now, for me, the biggest reason this film never came to be is one of two possibilities. The first is Tarantino mentioned it, as we said, to someone in passing, and the reality is it was just one of many possible ideas he had swirling around in that over-imaginative brain of his. And as we will bring to light over the course of this series, the church feels he's easily excited about ideas, and they burn very bright. However, they also burn themselves out almost as quickly. So like a dog in a field chasing butterflies, another butterfly came along, and he quickly forgot about this one and chased after the newest one, until that butterfly landed on Django Unchained. Now, the second is, Quentin never said this at all. It's an unfounded rumor that gained steam because the rumor's creator was just smart enough to attach a big name to the project, and it got the press and fans alike to froth at the mouth, which is why it stayed alive for over a decade since it was first uttered out into the universe. Now, Mr. Fryer Wheeler, what do we think is more likely? Both or one or the other?
I mean, it could have just been a script that said medieval movie and someone wrote Helen Mirren on it. You know, to be honest, I think that he may have talked about this at some point, and I think that those two reasons are possible. I also know that he could have talked about this or been thinking about it and then just got completely caught up with his Django distraction and went another way with it. There's also the possibility, because we know that he doesn't like to follow trends, and there's all these fantasy movies and stuff coming out at the time. Game of Thrones was rumored and announced for 2011 for HBO. You've got the Conan movie that was remade. Rodriguez was going to do a Red Sonja movie with Rose McGowan that was rumored for another podcast for us down the road. I mean, you had all that stuff. There was a Clash of the Titans remake in 2010. But he doesn't like to follow trends and will always go his own way. That's exactly the opposite of what you'd expect. I mean, who expected a World War II epic after he did Death Proof or even Kill Bill after Jackie Brown? It's just completely different films. I mean, the closest he's ever come, obviously, would be, you know, the Kill Bill movies, and then Django Unchained and The Hateful Eight are probably the closest, you know. They're different movies, but they're the closest that fit. But I don't see where this even fits in his filmography. It's such a weird idea. But if you look at all of it, like there's oddballs in there, but this would be completely out there.
It would have been in his wheelhouse because it's not like he hasn't played with swords before, right?
No.
So he's very adept at getting sword play in there. It would have been interesting to see a foul mouth type of just what Tarantino would bring to that type of genre, the medieval type sword and sandal type of movie, because I just want to hear what the dialogue would have been like. Like, what's the pop culture references from fucking medieval times in fucking England going to be? What are they talking about? Shakespeare's latest play?
Yeah, you know that he would have studied that shit. I mean, look at Bastards. It's got, what, four different languages in it?
Yeah.
You know, you got people like Mel Gibson and like David Milch, the guy that did Deadwood, that wrote all those. I mean, he's got such a grand way of speaking, and it's all wrapped in profanity. I could totally see, you know, like Tarantino doing something like that where it's all eloquently written with, you know, motherfuckers thrown in there every once in a while.
That was just a fucker of mothers. you know what? Somehow, I mean, I guess I can't say I'm going to go medieval on your ass because they are medieval. So I just, yeah, it would have played interesting. It would have been an all white cast, probably, most likely.
Maybe.
I don't know how many black people lived in medieval England. I really don't.
I did not study up on that.
We're sorry, folks. I thought maybe the Friars Research Department was going to be a little bit better, but apparently not. We'll do better next time, folks. We will do better next time.
It's time for some hypotheticals.
Now, we're going to take a look at what we think the film could possibly look like, even though we don't know if it was ever truly something he announced. And we'll see what kind of impact it may have had on his filmography, as we're kind of slowly discussing. Obviously, we know the lead was going to go to Helen Mirren, or it was rumored. Who knows? There's only two names I could think of at the time, in 2010, who he would have probably had in the film. And I'm sure he would have gotten more English actors. But I think that his mainstay, Tim Roth, would have had a role, for sure. And he had just worked with this man. I think Michael Fassbender would also have been a part of this film. Again, we have absolutely no idea what the plot was. There is no. It just seemed to be a farted whisper of a rumor. But the only people I could come up with for me, besides Helen, which was already fucking predetermined for us, would be his old counterpart, Mr. Tim Roth, who is actually of English descent, and Mr. Michael Fassbender, also of English descent, and plus Mr. Fassbender is fluent in both German and English, so that might have lent itself to something in the plot as well. Who knows? Who knows what surnames we would have got? What family ties would have been thrown into? I'm going to say the Hitchcock. Hitchcock had to be one of them, right? Like, we would get a little bit
my
more.
Notes too. Like, yeah. What was he gonna sprinkle in there as Easter eggs for, you know, like the great 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 grandfather of the fucking Vega brothers? Like, he's an executioner.
It's Joe Cabot's dad was once Joe Cabot's great 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 grandfather
rode elephants.
Exactly. Why do I gotta ride an elephant? Cause you're a pansy. So. Yeah, I mean, who else do you think we could have seen possibly in this film that never will see the light of day ever?
Obviously, Helen Mirren. I mean, and she commands a hell of a presence on screen.
She would have been fantastic.
I think my favorite with her, have you ever seen The Mosquito Coast?
Yes.
With her and Harrison Ford. Yes. Like, he's absolutely unhinged and fucking crazy in that movie, and she, like, holds her own through the entire movie with him. So, I mean, obviously with the whole medieval thing, I'd love to see Ving Rhames in it in some way. Like, that would be great. Maybe, and I was wondering about Samuel Jackson, but I thought maybe Christoph Waltz, like, that's one that, you know, I could see where he just worked with him. He won an award. He had, like, this great experience with him, and then, you know, maybe he wrote something in there. And I could also, I would love to see Kurt Russell with another beard playing like a king or a dead king, or, you know, like he could be, you know, do flashbacks or something with where he's married to Helen Mirren or something. And I also would love to see him work with Melanie Laurent again, because she was really good. But, you know, he had just got off these movies, and, you know, sometimes he gets inspired to do other movies as he's working on current movies. And those are the only ones I could really think of. I also, as far as casting goes, I would love to see him dive more into the Morricone discography to find more giallo and western score pieces to place in this medieval movie that it shouldn't work in there, but it does, because he has a talent for doing that. And I was
thinking, about some pop music that he just flies in
there?
He would there'd be a battle scene that would be
white
to
stripes.
Whatever. Yeah,
the trailer's got fucking Seven Nation Army behind it, you know, like, fuck me with the white stripes.
Oh, Jesus. But, good Lord. Just stop. You just upset the Three-Man Records is kicking your ass. Don't be surly. All I'm going to say is, it, now that you kind of mentioned some of the black actors, I was thinking, it made me think of Robin Hood when Morgan Freeman's in it. It very well could be part of the Crusades. It could have been a movie that also had to deal with the Crusades, which would have lent itself to some battles and some cool shit, possibly. Who knows?
Yeah, and I mean, Chappelle was in Robin Hood Men in Tights.
So, I mean, he was. Dave. You know, Dave. Let's put Dave Chappelle's name down on there. He's going to reprise his role. I think we have actually gone through this movie just in this last 5 minutes for the Tarantino did. We've actually
written for Adam Sandler as well.
Adam. Yes, but instead, obviously, what's his name's going to get it? Eli Roth. He'll play the. It wouldn't be a bear Jew. He'll play the wolf Nazi or something. Wolf, whatever. He'll be somebody.
Adam Sandler playing the cobbler.
This
is a horrible movie.
No wonder Helen Mirren didn't want it. Oh, my goodness. Now, had he made this film, it would have expanded his historical films. Because once he started Inglourious Basterds, and even all the way up to now, the end with the movie critic, everything is starting to fall into these almost time frames. So we talked about World War II. We go back to pre-slavery. We go to post-slavery. Or, I mean, post-Civil War. Then we jump into the 1960s. So it would have fit into this realm that he had kind of been going into. I don't know if it would have been some kind of rewriting of history. Because, like I said, I think we fleshed out a little more of a plot, which we really didn't much, more than anything that has been said about this film. Other than that it'll be violent and there'll be swearing in it. Like, to say that there's going to be violence and swearing in a Tarantino movie is like saying they're going to score baskets and there's going to be dunks in a basketball game. Like, it's really stating the obvious. It's a John Madden of fucking reporting on that article.
Yeah, well, and you also consider, like, his film knowledge. And obviously he's watched this type of genre his whole life, and he knows what works and is not going to work in the film. I'd also be interested to see his play on time periods, timelines, you know, history and stuff like that. But also we know that he hates CGI. and he uses it sparingly. So he's only he would apply it for practical sets, in-camera magic, practical effects, and actual location. So, I mean, that would be cool, too, because they don't really do that anymore. They just, you know, like, they'll make the fucking castle or... I don't even know, like, you watch those Harry Potter movies, how much of it's real and how much isn't, and, you know, some of the other fucking movies that are... Like, that Clash of the Titans, I think that half of it's fucking fake when you watched it at the time period, you know, when it came out in 2010, so... I could see him doing some crazy shit with it. Also, like, the polish that he had on the film, on his films after Inglourious Basterds is just amazing. And, like, it would have, you know, lent itself really well to this type of genre of film if he was going to do it.
I wonder if some of this juice for this film came from him just finishing kind of filming over in Europe for a while and maybe seeing some of these castles. You know, maybe some of it, some of the filming process while I was overseas doing this. Maybe it kind of inspired him, like, yeah, I'd be cool to do a period piece like this and kind of like a Kill Bill with fucking swords and sandals in the medieval. Yeah. Could have been something. I mean, again, like I said, I think we have actually talked more about this than anything else out there. We are now the foremost expert on a film that may never have ever been talked about. We've had more discussion on this than anything else.
I honestly believe, though, like, I don't think he's ever even talked about it. I don't think it was even a thought. Like,
well, the fact that he's never said denied it, but maybe it's just him. Maybe it's just him. He likes to have those things out in the ether, you know, sometimes just to whatever. I mean, I guess as long as people are talking about it, it's just not a bad thing. Like, no press is bad press.
When you put in your Google search for this, how many pages down did you go? Because I went 5 and cannot find anything other than what you reported within the first 5
Yeah, minutes. There's not a lot in the first few pages. Like, it just becomes like someone else has like copied and pasted what they said into another article. But basically what it becomes. Even when you go into like the Screen Rant one, and it'll say, you know, they basically have copied and pasted what they heard in the other thing, and they'll, you know, talk about how they might have been excited about it. But there's never been a single thing I could find where he said no or said, yes, this was true. You know, there's nothing. The only person who said anything was Helen, and she said she wishes that was a truth. And that's it. Like, honestly, it really kind of just died there. Tarantino never came out, never spoke about it. And it's literally, there was that late January. There's like these 4 days in January, 23rd to the 27th. There was a medieval movie possibility. It was killed off by Helen Mirren on an MTV interview. And it has been quiet now as we record close to that date, 14 years later. And we have actually exhumed it and we've brought it back to life. And we've actually talked more about it than anyone else in the history. And there you go. This is the stuff you come to this podcast for. This is the juicy bits of information you're looking for. Now, had this film come to pass, I feel we either don't get Django or we don't get Hateful. I think one of those two films may fall by the wayside if this medieval movie comes out. Because he's going to do a Western.
Yeah, any of the four. Yeah, we could not get any of the four that the three he's done and the one he's talking about because of this.
Yeah.
And that's where it's like that Back to the Future where it's like this alternate Tarantino universe of fucked up films.
Now, I heard an interview where he's been thinking about being done after 10 films for like 20 years since. So basically after finishing Kill Bill. I don't know if that's true. I mean, I can't deny him. I mean, if he's the one who thinks he said it, then that's what he's been thinking. But it feels like it just suddenly came out of nowhere. You know, like it does feel like suddenly, right around, what was it, The Hateful Eight, he started to talk about it, that he had like, you know, 10 films was going to be his last kind of thing. So it feels like he's been discussing this in the last 5 years or so. 5 to 10 years, but I don't know about 2 decades. It just feels like he suddenly, I mean, again, he's married now, he's got 2 kids, so I get it, and he's also older in age. He's going to be 61 this year, so I do understand.
For 25 years, I've followed just about anything that this man has said publicly about all these films. I missed this one. I don't ever remember it or anything.
Well, it was so quick and brief.
No, but things have changed. Like, back in the day, you would just get, like, you didn't even, unless he was, like, Rolling Stone or something, or on Charlie Rose, you didn't see long-form interviews with him. And now he's doing podcasts. There was, I think, 5 of them that I found just the other day that he was on after Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, where they're doing long-form sit-down interviews that I don't know if they're sending him the questions before or after, but nobody ever asks him about this shit. It's always the same stuff over and over and over again. So, I mean, if he came on here, it'd be, you know, here's the list of 36 movies. What the fuck? Where are these? You know, I could just see you, you know, where's my fucking TV series?
It is weird. Well, I mean, I guess probably because a lot of the people are going to, they're going to ask about Double Vega, which we covered last month. They're going to ask about Kill Bill Volume 3. They'll ask about even some of the newer things that have been mentioned that we'll get into, where he mentioned doing an actual book remake, more, you know, basically tailing it more to being faithful to the book of Rambo, or First Blood, I should say. And he talked about even redoing his own Reservoir Dogs, even having an all-black cast for Reservoir Dogs. So, and there's a couple other ones like Black Crow, which we'll get into later on. There's a few that he has talked about that I think probably take precedence, especially when you've got something that's only been 4 days. 4 days is basically the life of this fucking possibility. And I don't know. We'll see. I guess we will finally see. Maybe one day we'll get a chance to talk to him and he'll actually come out and say, hey, you know what? That thing was fucking bullshit from the start. Never said that. Or he's like, you know what? I was taking a shit.
Yep,
I dropped a napkin. Much. I wrote it down on it. And that was it. So.
Well, he doesn't have like a web page. He doesn't have Twitter or whatever the fuck it's called.
He is
now
a curmudgeonly old man. He's like, he won't write with a typewriter. He one finger pecks. Like, it's almost like he... he's like a hipster sometimes. Like, I only ground my own coffee from beans that I personally pick on my vacations to Guatemala. It's like, fuck you. Fuck you.
He doesn't
fuck
do that.
You.
He goes to Starbucks. You ever seen the video?
I know. I'm just saying. Just, I mean, good Lord. Like, look,
he's shutting
time
your butt
down. Advances. Time advances and technology advances. Jesus Christ.
But if he had a Twitter account for the last 5 years, we would have 6 years worth of fucking podcasts.
Well, you know, then you're right. I should probably be a little bit more happy that he's not on, because I would have, we would just never end this goddamn show. This show would just go on for eternity.
Talking about this
for
shit.
Eternity. It'd be like, Jesus, you know what he announced today? He'd be like the Donald Trump of fucking movie Twitters. He would just announce things. He's out of the blue. I was taking a shit today, and I looked down, and it looked like fucking Christoph Waltz, and I thought, maybe I'll do a movie about Christoph Waltz as a sewer cleaner, and he gets into some things, and he runs into the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Turtles. There's no shit.
And there's hitmen chasing.
Yes, yes. To a dying hitman named Mario and Luigi are after him
and
as
then
well.
He pulls out a big pipe and drops his dick on the floor. Bam.
Although there's a part of me that kind of wants to see him have a Twitter and just announce inane stuff. But anyways, he just announces things and no one to question him about it anyways. Be the first one every time. Every time. Where's the TV show? Send.
You're all bitching about that.
So, I mean, honestly, I don't know that this could be a very hefty blue ball here. But once again, our blue ball rankings. For each project we discuss, we will rate the level of blue balls that the Never Realized Project has given us based on the following five shades of blue. And they are baby blue balls, mild discomfort, sky blue balls, some troubling tingling, royal blue balls, wince-inducing throbbing, navy blue balls, agonizing pelvic aching, and midnight blue balls, where you must ejaculate or die misery. So, Mr. Wheeler, the good friar, what level of blue balls does the untitled medieval project give you?
I'm going to say baby blue. This is one that, despite my taste in films, which if anybody knows me, I love Conan the Barbarian, and the thought of him doing a film like that would be cool, but it's really low on my list because of until I get more details or like the misreporting. Just knowing that it could be bloody and filled with profanity isn't enough, because I expect that. Even if he made a children's movie at this point, I'd expect the puppet getting blown apart with stuffing flying all over the fucking place. It's a cool thought, but I also think it would have distracted him from Django, which is his most successful film to this date. Mm-hmm. And we may not have got Hateful Eight and Once Upon a Time of Hollywood in their forms without, you know, Django. We've seen how he gets distracted, and then it leads to promised, teased, and unfinished projects. And that could have happened to Django if this one's true. And, like, I love Westerns as much as I love, like, medieval sorcery. Fuck, I was watching Kingdom of Heaven, the Roadshow version, right before I walked in here to do this today for the first time in a while, because I've been wanting to watch it again. I love Westerns, and I remember going to see Django in the theater knowing that my favorite director did his first Western. He'd been waiting for it. I remember how excited I was, and I don't think I'd trade that feeling for a medieval film. So just knowing, like, if you could go back, like, I don't know. It doesn't register as high with me, especially when it was over a 4 day period. I mean, I've had relationships that have lasted longer than that.
I mean, I've had farts that lingered longer than this announcement seemed to do. This podcast episode is longer than anything.
Willem Dafoe's dick is bigger than
that. Oh, Willem Dafoe's dick. We're all living on it. It's a timeline you just don't know that you're living on. But yeah, like you, this gives me baby blue balls. Like, I'll be honest, I don't even remember until we started doing research. research for this podcast of some concrete ones. And the reason that I decided we would dive into this is because it made a lot of top 10 announced projects that never came to the light lists for his. And for those of you who don't know, a little insider information. Of the 36 projects we found, only one was handpicked to start with, and that was obviously the Vega Brothers, Double V Vega. We had to start with that. It was the first announcement felt right. Everything else was put into a randomizer and randomly came up. And our second one was this, the untitled medieval movie. So that's how you are listening to this. We did not decide to do them in order. That's no fun. We're just going to do them in a random order. So every month you'll come back and we'll have something new. And it'll be from either a different decade. You just never know what's going to pop up next and how juicy it'll be. But for this one, yeah, baby blue balls for me. So far, the biggest blue ball for me is still, I think, Double Vega. As we go through the journey, it'll be hard to overcome that as far as a level of excitement and disappointment of not seeing that project come to fruition. For me, for now, I might change my mind as we go down. We got a lot more to go.
And like some of them, like the, not to spoil anything, but there's one from another Elmore Leonard novel that he had optioned at one point that I'm in the middle of the novel right now, and it's really good. And I'm like, I could fucking see this.
And it also made the top 10 list as well.
Yeah, I would love to see this.
And we may be doing it sooner around the summertime.
Well, no, I think he still owns the option for it. So, I mean, maybe he can write the script and give the script to somebody else.
Once again, this is one of the possibilities we're hopeful for, is that he is retiring from being a director. Maybe he won't retire from writing, and then we could have some other people step in and do some of his films. So that'll be interesting.
This is such bullshit with the reporting, because they're just like, oh, he's fucking done. And I'm like, he's not going to Build-A-Bear with his kids. Okay, that's not something that this man's going to do. He may go to a playground, but he's going to be sitting there with a notepad jotting down ideas to give to other people to make movies, books, all kinds of shit. And he's constantly doing film reviews and stuff. So, like, he's not going to just walk away. So everybody that keeps telling me that, I just, like, you know, like, I get it all the time at the console. You're a Tarantino fanatic. How do you feel about him retiring? He's not fucking retiring, okay? Like, he's just going to do other shit.
Yeah, it's just not directing anymore. He's retiring from directing.
And I don't even believe him on that, because he it's not that he's a liar. He's just, I think he's mentally ill a little bit, and just, he says shit.
I just don't think he knows. He hasn't had kids for a while, and he's in the golden age of his children right now, where they're still toddlers and they're little.
They're fun.
Yes, they're fun. And anyone who's a parent who's listening to this knows how quickly that fun turns into fucking bedlam. And how quickly,
in 10 years, they're going to hate him. They'll be trying to kill him in his sleep.
Shit, in 5 years, when they go to school, he's going to be like, all right, I got to get out of the house. When they get to the no phase and all this other stuff, he's going to be chomping at the bit to do something. So we shall see.
10 years, he's going to be sleeping in bed, and his daughter is going to be standing with a fucking eye patch going, don't ever wake up, shithead. Like, it's coming. It's fucking coming. So, yeah, because that's what they all do. If you don't have kids, don't fucking have them, because they hate you.
So there you have it. The level of disappointment is so minimal, you might say this project never seen the light of day doesn't fucking bother us at all. Now please reach out to us on our socials and let us know what level of blue balls Tarantino has left you with since the announcement of this project nearly 30 years ago. And that's a wrap on this episode of Inglourious Blue Balls. I would once again like to thank my co-host, Friar Wheeler, for joining me on this daunting journey through the vast jungle of unrealized project announcements from our Lord and Savior, Quentin Tarantino. Now, you can find the links to all of Friar Wheeler's endeavors in our show notes. And as always, you can become a member of the Church of Tarantino by following us on all of our socials. Those links can be found in the show notes as well. Now, if you'd be so kind and take a moment to like, review, subscribe, and follow us, the Church would greatly appreciate it, as it will help other fellow Tarantino fans like yourself find the show. So be sure to join me again next week as Neil Damiano, film reviewer for the Top 10 Films website and former radio host of Film Talk on Swellcast Radio, joins me for our Pulp Reflection series as we take a look at the world-building Pulp Fiction did to help create what we now know as the Tarantinoverse. So until then, I'm the Reverend Scott K. May Tarantino be with you always.
This has been a Man with an Exceptional Beard production.